How was that for you?
It actually was awesome. Maybe I'm getting used to being in the empty rinks and just some of the sort of maybe what was once strange about the job in the summer is just, you know, I'm not focused on it as much. But I thought the game was fast, had lots of intensity. You know, the Leafs, I think, quite honestly, were a little fortunate to come out with 2 points.
Absolutely, they were.
But you know, I don't want to reach too many judgments about what the team is or how the balance of power in the division looks after one day. But you know, I think just from a sporting spectacle or what have you, it was an entertaining game. I think the players had a lot of fun, and it's just crazy. It kind of blows my mind to think that Montreal and Toronto will play 9 more times between now and May 8th. I mean, that was a pretty hard fought game for the circumstances, and you can only imagine the emotion going up as they go through that sort of series of games against each other.
Oh, dude, you're right. And we did the same thing when we came on the show, which is, hey, like, I think that we can have a discussion about how much the Wayne Simmonds fight impacted the game, how much you're taking the player's word for it versus what you think actually happened. And you can talk about Matthews and his brilliance in that game and just, like, how dominant he looked, how many minutes he played. There's things that you can talk about from the game. But, yeah, drawing conclusions at this point or even themes is foolish. I will say this, though. There were a couple things. One, I agree with you. That resonated for me almost as soon as the game ended, which is, wow, you get to... It's not like years past where this you get to carry that around for a little while as a Leaf fan. Like, oh, we beat the Canadians. Hey, we got one over you. And we're only going to see you a couple more times this year. And maybe one of them won't matter or who knows. No, they're all going to matter. And you're going to face them again very soon. And you're going to be able to test yourself at different points of the season. That's very exciting. I even state, like, normally after a full day of work, sometimes the second game becomes a little bit more background noise. But I was way more invested in watching it knowing that the Leafs are going to play the Canucks and the Oilers 9 times or whatever it is, like, the rest of the season. So that really worked for me. The fan thing, though, that you touched on, maybe you're getting used to it. I'm not. If there's one thing that hurts, and of course it's not going to change, and it's really kind of strange to talk about because there's nothing that is going to happen that'll make it any different, but the Canadian division's so great, not having Canadian fans in the seats to enjoy it and having that atmosphere in there of that added intensity and the fun rivalries between friends and family or whatever that go to these games. I missed that more than ever last night. Like, that really, really hit me.
Fair. And look, like, that overtime, no one would have sat down for 10 minutes of the time that elapsed just between the breakaways back and forth and, you know, some great saves by Price and Frederik Andersen before Riley ended it. You know, even that sort of game where the Leafs are down 1-0 and 3-1 and 4-3 and they come back and tie it and pull out a victory. I mean, that was an emotional game for the players, and you can only imagine how much greater of a level it would have been on with the full arena. You know, even having Joe Thornton introduced and having someone like Wayne Simmonds have that fight in his first game, I mean, in a home opener, that would all take on even more meaning. And I think would connect them with the fans. You know, it's hard for me. We live in such, like, a strange time now. Like, I don't see anyone. I feel really cut off from knowing how people feel. I don't know if people were at home, you know, getting pumped up about all that stuff, feeling that connection with those new players and guys that have come home to sign with the Leafs and are now contributing to the Leafs victories. But, you know, I guess I get to be a half step closer because I was in the rink and I really thought it was a cool night.
Yeah, it was definitely cool, and I think there would be far less pushback to the Simmonds changing the momentum of that game if you could hear the screaming fans go from sitting on their hands to going nuts for the rest of that period at that point. Yeah, we're not making sweeping takeaways, and we had some idea of how things would be deployed during the game. Did anything surprise you, anything you hadn't thought about or anything you were curious about how it would work out, anything catch your eye yesterday in that regard?
I don't know if I was surprised. You know, I think that there should be a little degree of concern for the way the Leafs played defensively. And you know, obviously, I think with such a short camp and no games, you know, seeing someone like Jake Muzzin struggle a little bit in the game, you know, it's just something to watch. Certainly not pinning everything on him. You know, it was a tough night for the third pairing. Not a great debut for Zach Bogosian in that regard. But, you know, I think that this will be a theme that we're following is just, you know, is this an improved blue line as we all think? I mean, certainly I think the personnel is improved, but you know, the real proof is in, you know, the way that they end up playing together and the structure they can put in place. It's going to be hard, too, in this division. I mean, let's call it what it is. It literally is star players on every other team they're playing. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to call Nick Suzuki a star, but he's looking like he's on the verge of being one if he isn't already. You know, Josh Anderson had a great game, maybe not in the star class quality, but he's a really tough guy to handle for opposing teams. We know about what the teams out west have in terms of, you know, we're going to see Edmonton come in here next week and even Winnipeg. I mean, this is going to be a tough division for the Leafs to look good defensively. It's going to be tough for anyone to look good defensively. But, you know, that I think bears watching. You know, the Leafs star guys, though, I thought all performed pretty well last night. You know, the Matthews, Marner, Thornton line didn't produce a lot in terms of goals in the net. But, man, they were all over the offensive zone and had their chances. Obviously, Nylander got a couple goals. John Tavares tipped one in on the power play. You know, I think there's the reason the Leafs are excited in camp, I think there's good reason for it. Because they didn't have a complete performance in the game, and yet, you know, they can turn it on and find those goals. So, you know, I don't know if I have one sweeping takeaway or one guy that jumped off the page for me so much, but I actually thought Frederik Andersen, obviously any night the goalie lets in four, it's hard to give him credit, but, I mean, he stood pretty tall in the end there too, and that's probably his biggest story as any in Toronto this year, is just how he manages this season where he's in his contract year, and obviously he's so important to the team's hopes because, you know, they need him to be good to cover up for some of the things that go on in front of him.
Yeah, no, it was one game, and yeah, it's
let's
like,
jump to conclusions.
No, I don't have those. Like, I just don't have them today, and I just can't be doing it. And yeah, I just thought, you know what? Like I said, that's why I brought up the fans and the atmosphere and just the division itself. And I actually really liked Suzuki. And if there's one thing I feel confident about from that game, like if I'm going to take a... Whoa! We used our phones and we got an Amber Alert. So I got one too. So anyways.
Yeah, I didn't...
It's that Nick Suzuki is going to be a Leafs killer.
That's amazing. I didn't know that still comes through when you put it on Do Not Disturb.
Does it's amazing. That's what you use to describe.
All right, I think we've all gone on super delay now. Oh, all right. Yeah, okay. I think JD wanted to talk about Nick Suzuki and how incredible he looked. Josh Anderson looked incredible as well, CJ. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge a contract one way or the other when we haven't seen a guy play in so long, but holy crap, you have to be excited if you're a Canadiens fan with that debut.
Well, and the contract is the whole thing with the discussion here, right? I mean, I don't think anyone had a question about Josh Anderson and the acquisition in terms of that being a potentially good move for Montreal. But when you give him a 7-year deal out of the box, he's coming off a serious shoulder injury. He had one goal all of last year in Columbus. I mean, all those things, you know, make that a risky proposition. And so you can't start any better than he did. You know, I think it just gives him the ability not to feel any pressure at the beginning to live up to that, just to get a couple goals. It's going to buy him some time to find his legs and you know, could end up being a home run. Who knows? I mean, 7-year deals, the risk, of course, is just what happens in year 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know, they're not judged necessarily in that first season. But certainly, you know, I think he's a great upgrade for Montreal. And you know what? They're one of the teams I thought was going to be a surprise in this division. I didn't think they got enough love nationally in the preseason, just because I think that they play like a team. You know, I think that they're going to be what we saw. They're really tough against teams that want to play skilled and have the game be easy. And you know, obviously there's a fair amount of that, I think, in this division. And you know, they don't have the headliners against the opponents they're playing, but I think that they are a deep team. You know, Corey Perry played in the Stanley Cup final 3 months ago, and you know, he was scratched last night. And if you look at Montreal's lineup, it's hard to make a case that he should have played, you know, above any of the wingers that they had, you know, skating. So I think that this is going to be a difficult team, a pain in the butt. And, you know, the fact that they go up against everyone over and over and over again, I think works in their favor because, you know, by about February 10th, I think all of Canada is going to be tired of playing the Habs.
Dude, I thought that the Habs were unquestionably more impressive than the Leafs last night. Like, I don't know how you could get, like, cool, Toronto gets the 2 points. And Toronto has the higher-end skill, I would say, where in a 3-on-3 overtime, you would expect them to win. And they capitalized on some power plays where they did get some bounces last night, man. Like, it's pretty lucky that a lot of the results were... there was a little bit of luck involved with it. Whether it was William Nylander getting the shoot and a clear lane without a stick, whether it's a puck going over the glass, like it's there's just stuff that happened for the Leafs. They got some bounces last night, and that's cool. That's
the
hockey.
The VC goal off the right. official there too.
Exactly. Right. Like they got fortuitous last night. I thought 5-on-5 when Austin Matthews was not on the ice, the Habs looked like the better team, and that the assessment that you just made about them looking more like a team was accurate. And they were phasing in new guys too, and those guys fit. And yeah, what I was saying before the Amber Alert thing was, yeah, I'm really already confident that Nick Suzuki's going to be a Leaf killer for a decade. Like that's just a thing that's going to happen. And if you're a fan of the Owen Sound Attack and the Maple Leafs, it's going to be torture for you for a decade. So sorry for those of you signing up for that contract. But yeah, I that's why I kind of wanted to stick with some of the other stuff, which is, okay, so the Leafs to me looked a little sloppy, like there were mistakes. And with veteran teams, we were kind of, the idea was supposed to be, hey, you don't need a training camp as much, or you don't need preseason games as much. Do you kind of see this as, like, the longer this goes on, do you see this as kind of confirmation that the NHL will go back to more preseason games and that they will have a longer drawn out preseason program? Or do you think that there is still an opportunity here, if this works out and the hockey's great, that we will see what the veterans want?
I think we're going to see more preseason games. I mean, look, they put money in the till, you know, at a time when you can sell tickets. So I think if for no other reason, you know, obviously some amount of preseason games in a normal year are for competitive reasons to get players up to speed, to make judgments on the fringe guys in your roster. But, you know, when you see 6 or 8 as teams typically play, I think that's purely to get the business running in September. So, you know, I think it's almost assured that we'll see preseason games again. And look, I think most players like to play a couple preseason games, ideally. You know, we saw basically every team do some version of the Leafs scrimmage last Saturday that they had last Saturday night, because, you know, it's hard to replicate those game-like situations. As hard as these guys train, as much as they get skated into the ground during a training camp, you know, for Austin Matthews to play 23 or 24 minutes last night, I don't think anything he did in the offseason can truly prepare himself for that. You know, that's an exhausting exercise at the level that game was played at. It was a fast game. So, you know, there is a need for it. We're going to see it again. Bit of a necessary evil. You know, I'm getting older in my career. I don't have as much patience for them. So selfishly, I like just seeing everyone tossed into the frying pan. But yeah, this is just a one-off because of the circumstances.
Yeah, and okay, so the Matthews thing, that's the other thing I think that you can discuss right now already in terms of its feasibility, which is, yeah, the guy played a ton last night, and everybody looked tired in overtime, but I actually felt bad for him watching him have to skate in overtime. Like, he got caught in transition at one point, he was trying to catch up to the play, and I'm like, man, this poor guy, just go off, it's not your fault, you're not catching anybody at this point anyways. But 10 minutes into he had played 10 minutes, not even halfway through the second period, and Sheldon Keefe puts him out on the penalty kill. And that was probably the number one note for a lot of people, but just that, wow, you're already asking this guy to do a lot, and he's going to be on the penalty kill. And we said it, okay, Tavares and Nylander, those guys scored on the power play, and you're not asking how in this one. It's definitely a how-many situation, especially earlier in the year. But it really did feel like Matthews was carrying a lot of the offensive burden. And if it continues to look that way, how can they possibly justify keeping him on the penalty kill? Like, how do you think that this is something that even lasts, like, that could actually change within a week or two?
It could, but I think they're pretty committed to it, quite honestly. I mean, the reason they played so much last night is the Leafs fell behind, right? I mean,
right,
getting down 1-0 and 3-1 early in the game, I mean, they were chasing it the entire night. And as you correctly noted, they weren't getting a whole lot done in the shifts that Matthews wasn't on the ice. So, you know, Sheldon Keefe started putting him on the ice more at even strength. You know, I do think that they want to see this penalty kill experiment through. And look, he did win a couple faceoffs in that circumstance on the PK. There was one in particular, I think it was in the second period. He won it clear. They got they cleared the defensive zone and he went straight to the bench. I mean, I think that's ideally how it works to start. But, you know, when the reality is a couple things. He's young, and I think he can handle the minutes in general. I'm not saying he's going to play that many minutes in every game, but presumably the Leafs are going to get a lead in some of these games, and he's going to, you know, have 18-minute nights too. And, you know, I think secondly, when you're paying the guys that they're paying, the money they're being paid, I mean, that's kind of how this has to work. And, you know, people were up in arms when Mike Babcock was not playing him enough. I think, you know, there is a point where it's too much, And I would suggest averaging 23 minutes a night would be too much, especially with this schedule. I mean, look how it goes now. I mean, they play Friday, they play tomorrow and Saturday in Ottawa. They play Monday back home, Wednesday at home, Friday at home. Then they're heading out west. Like, it's going to be a grueling schedule. And I think that the Leafs are, that's why the taxi squad is going to help Toronto, is that they're going to be able to rotate players in through the lineup. And, you know, I would think we'll see a little bit more load management on the top guys when it's possible. But, you know, in nights like that where they're behind and they really are pushing for a win, you're going to see them, you know, Sheldon Keefe has not been afraid to play them those kind of minutes.
Yeah, hopefully they can take their foot off the gas a little bit with back-to-back against the Senators this weekend. Before I let you go, yeah. So we asked Donald Fehr about this yesterday. We had him on about what he thinks the future of this Canadian division could be, and he thinks we're probably going back to the way it was or some semblance of that, but we'll see. Left the door open. What is the biggest downside to keeping this going?
The travel is an issue over a full season. You know, I don't think we should discount the fact. Like, if you look at the division that has the New York teams and Philly and Boston, and you know that, like, those guys will barely get on a plane this season. And you know, Toronto's got to make multiple trips out west. That, you know, obviously, as Vancouver's got to make multiple trips to the east. It's a lot more air miles logged, I think, with this kind of division. You know, I wonder if the NHL has some concerns, and I haven't asked anyone, but you know, are we going to talk about anything else that happens in the league this year in Canada? And you know, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, Nathan MacKinnon's probably going to have a monster year in Colorado, and you know, a lot of people in Canada might not notice just because we're going to be so fixated on these teams and these games. And you know, I think that's okay for some period of time, but you know, I imagine there would be a little bit of concern at the league level that, you know, we're basically excluding 24 teams in the league right now just to focus on these seven. You know, personally, I don't see too much downside because I, you know, again, selfishly, I'm Canadian. I get excited to watch this. I do wonder if you did it multiple years in a row that it might be too much of a good thing at some point. But, you know, I don't have that concern for this year. I think we're all going to go bananas for it. And I would expect it's going to return to something more like normal next season. But who knows? I mean, if you had told me we'd be living like this 12 months ago, I wouldn't have guessed. So I'm not going to tell you what next year is going to look like because I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see the downsides. And I think that if the NHL goes back, it'll go down as one of the most foolish decisions they've ever made. The Canadian division, okay, maybe it gets tiresome at some point. Guess what? Change it then. It's not like divisions have been ironclad for years and years and years, and we've never had any changes. Like, Leafs used to be in the Western Conference anyway. Like, that's right. What it was when I was growing up.
They're not just playing the teams in their division too, right? Like,
right.
We expect them to open it up and you play at least every team home and away.
Right. It's just that you would have this divisional stacking and that you'd have more games against the Canadian teams. And yeah, you would see the other groups. But here's the other thing. Hockey should realize that it isn't a national sport in the States, and it's becoming less of a national sport in Canada in terms of people caring about Nathan MacKinnon's season with the Colorado Avalanche or what's going on with the Dallas Stars. Like, you can't sell people on that. Nobody cares about the Dallas Stars. Like, and they never will, ever again. People don't have time for it. Like, there's going to be hardcore fans that do, but they kind of do. It's weird to think about baseball as a good marker, like the ones who are setting an example, but it's the baseball has it right. They are. Baseball's the gold standard for hockey. They should be looking at this and saying, hey, this is actually a regional sport. Hey, this is you watch your team and you're not really watching anybody else. And honestly, sports is going to become more like that in general because, yeah, there's just, we talk about this all the time, the changing of generations and the changing of viewing and listening habits and content. But just the idea that you're going to, if you put the Leafs playing the Dallas Stars twice a year, that people will care about the Stars, I think it's a fallacy. And yeah, it's just,
but
it'll be poor business.
Don't you care about the Stars if the next Connor McDavid plays in Dallas or, you know, the next superstar player?
Maybe if they get the superstar player, like, I guess if they get the next Connor McDavid, you're right, I will care. But barely.
McKinnon's pretty like close to that,
right?
And he's playing in Colorado.
And I don't care.
I mean, look, it might stick. I'm not going to rule
playoffs
out.
And I'll watch the odd.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, CJ.
I said it might stick, and I'm not going to rule it out entirely. And you're right because there's going to be divisional play next year, meaning you're not just going to play only your own division. I would think, assuming the world's in a better place at that point. So, you know, there's some merit to it. I think the hype of this, though, will be awesome. And JD's point is well made. You know, I grew up a huge Blue Jays fan, massive Blue Jays fan, and you know, never watched the National League in my life, basically. Like, I didn't know anything about those teams. I didn't know which players were in those teams. And maybe that's where we're heading the NHL. I don't know.